Because this is
Awesome.
such an exciting topic. Like, I mean, exciting, but it's a topic we have not addressed. And our community, everyone is very passionate about this topic. So thank you so much for joining us. And also, you know, this month is a breast cancer awareness month. So it's perfect. So Tia, tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to become a community board advisor to Bench to Community.
Sure. So in 2015, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I was under the age of 40. And, I had worked in the pharmaceutical industry for several years, almost 20 years. And at one point in time, I actually was a chemist. And so I know a little bit about chemicals and the, how they have harm, they're harmful. Some chemicals are harmful to us. But never in a million years did I ever think I was going to be diagnosed with breast cancer. And so when I got diagnosed, it didn't run in my family. And so the first thing I knew was, what can I change that I can control? And so I got rid of everything in my house because, you hear the stories about like, the nail polish with formaldehyde and things of that nature. There was a big, run about that. And then it kind of got silenced a little bit. But I remembered that. I remember that some of the products that we use, don't have the best chemicals in them or the best ingredients in them. And so I chucked everything. I got rid of every single thing in my home, and I started to replenish it with things that I could find that were. I started researching the chemicals that I and the products that I was using, and start replacing it with things that were more clean. Fast forward, how I got connected to Bench to Community. I'm constantly doing research because this is a passion of mine to really educate Black women about the substances in or the ingredients and the chemicals that are in our hair care products, our beauty, skincare products. And I came across Bench to Community and I was like, oh my gosh, they're right up my alley, And so I reached out to Dr. Dede and I was like, hey, I would love to go in. I want to learn more. But this is exciting to hear that someone is actually doing work around this very same subject. And so here I am, a community advisory board member, and I'm excited to be a part.
We are super excited to all the initiative that's going on at Bench to Community. So tell us some of the initiative that you're currently working on with the Bench to Community.
Yeah, so one of the things that they recently came out with, I don't know if everyone has been following them, but for those who aren't, they came out with these. There was a study that was done with the epidemiologists, and pretty much what they discovered in the research that they were doing is they took some, Black women's breast cancer cells and white women's breast cancer cells, and they took a ingredient that is most commonly found in our hair care products and skincare products, which is parabens. And they put it on these particular breast cancer cells. And what they found, in layman's terms, is that the Black breast cancer cells were rapidly growing, way more than the white breast cancer cells. And so, how they came up with this project is really they did focus groups. They wanted to know, what is it that Black women are asking, especially those who've been diagnosed. And it was the Black women that said, we are concerned about this. Like, what's going on here? And so they identified, the products that they wanted to utilize, and they started to do more research around this. And like I said, that's what they found is that these Black breast cancer cells are growing faster than the white breast cancer cells. And what they looked at are the more the hormone-based breast cancer cells, because we know there's hormone, related breast cancers as well as the non-hormone related breast cancers. So that's kind of what has recently come out of Bench to Community. And the research that they've been doing with Dr. Trevino. And so what they're now what we're talking about is, okay, what are some things that we can do to bring more awareness to this and really just continue to educate the community about this issue? How do we raise up people to speak out about that in the Black community, Black and Brown community?
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. If they actually have seen the cells are rapidly developing in Black women versus white women, this makes prevention and also avoiding these chemicals even more important for the Black community, which then leads to the education piece is extremely, extremely important. Now we're going to backtrack a little bit. That's since we're on the topic of education, if you're comfortable sharing with us, how did you discover that you had breast cancer?
Sure. So, like I said, I was young, so I wasn't of the age of getting mammograms. And I was in the shower doing a self breast exam. And while I'm doing my self breast exam, I feel a lump. And so that, that really shook my world because a few weeks prior, it wasn't there. And I actually had, I'll give you a little bit background even further. What made me check my breasts is because when I was in the seventh grade, I was about 12 years old, taking sex education class, and I probably am dating myself because I don't think they have those programs anymore. But while I was in class, they talked about doing self-breast exams, and they gave us a little shower card. And, I paid attention because I had an aunt that was not a blood relative. She was married to my father's brother, but at the time she had breast cancer, and we didn't talk about it in my family. She had a mastectomy. All we know was, our auntie lost her breasts. Like, that was it. Auntie lost her breasts. And you can only imagine a 12-year-old that doesn't have access to social media, that doesn't have access to all of this, stuff. I had encyclopedias, the big old books, right? And so, for me, it was a fear factor. Like, my aunt lost her breasts. I'm in this class. They're telling you check your breasts so you don't lose yours, basically. And so that was a fear as a kid. 12 years old, I started checking my breasts. And of course, as I got older, started having the conversations with healthcare providers, asking the real question, what is this thing checking your breasts? Like, am I doing it right? And so from that point on, I have been checking them on a monthly basis. So when I felt the lump, I knew immediately this was cancer. Not that I had all this education and knowledge about cancer or breast cancer, but I knew the lump wasn't there prior to, touching it. And I knew what my breasts felt like. So to feel something like that and that hard, it was very concerning to me.
Oh, wow. And you mentioned about hormonal based breast cancer versus the non-hormone, and then like you also called yourself a triple negative breast cancer survivor. I love this term. And could you discuss the type of breast cancer to our viewers, and what was your diagnosis meant to you?
Sure. So there are different types of breast cancer. And then of course there's subtypes. It can be very complicated, but for the viewers who are listening, just know that some are driven by hormones and some are or that are fed by hormones and some that are fed that are not fed by hormones. And so the thing about the hormone-based cancers is they have more targeted therapies for the hormone-based cancer. So if you think of a lock and a key, right? So the cancer cells have like this receptor on it, right? And then you have, or let's say has a lock on it, but you need a key to turn it off. Well, the drugs are the key that turns the hormone-based cancers off. But for the non-hormone-based cancers, they don't know where they're coming from, right? There's no really targeted therapy specifically for that, what they call triple negative breast cancer. So it's negative for the three different hormones that they're looking for. So it's estrogen, progesterone, and HER2. Don't need anybody to remember all of that, but just know that there are hormones that they look at. And so in the case of triple negative, because there's no it's not hormone based, there's no direct modalities or therapies for that. And so they still treat it. They have drugs to treat it, but it's a little bit harder to treat. And that particular type of breast cancer is more aggressive. So out of the breast cancers that are out here, the different types, this is 22% of the cancer diagnosis are triple negative, but it's more prevalent in Black women and it's more prevalent in young women. So for me, I had two of those, right? I'm young and I'm Black. And of course, me a female.
Yeah, because you were diagnosed at a young age, which actually have becoming more increasingly common in the Black community. Like, how did you deal with the emotions, like, when you found out?
Well, I mean, the first thing, of course, that came to my mind was, how am I going to have this conversation with my mother and my father? I don't live in the same state as my parents. I moved away, when I became of age and finished college. I wanted to, just go out and adventure and experience other states. And, so how do I have this conversation with my mother and my father? And then the next thing was, am I going to survive this? Because if you don't know much about cancer, you know what you see on television, right? In the movies, and the commercials. So the things that you see are not positive. It's more about death. And so not for everyone, but for me, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Am I going to survive this? Unfortunately, my aunt, succumbed to breast cancer later in life, but it was like, okay, will I make it through? And then the next question is, I'm young. I'm not married. I don't have kids. You know, will I ever get married? Will anybody want me? You know, I'm thinking automatically I'm going to lose my breast. I didn't know that there was an option of a lumpectomy. So my mind went immediately to the dark side of breast cancer. But, you know, God just showed up in my life in a real way. And he said, listen, you get up and take your bed, because I'm, you know, I'm sobbing, I'm crying, and I'm very emotional. He said, you can make it through this. You know, you can get through this. You saw what I did for your father. You saw what I did for your brother. Why can't I do the same thing for you? And when I heard that, that's when I got up and I just said, okay, I'm still crying, of course, emotional, but I wrote on my mirror, my faith is my healing power. And so, you know, you talked about cancer, you know, cancer came from that moment in my life.
Wow. Wow. I love this. You mentioned about self-exam, and that really helped you find the lung, which is really important. Were you also aware of any preventative measures growing up?
You know, growing up, I would say yes and no. And the reason why I say yes and no, because you hear about eating healthy, you hear about don't smoke, you hear about, you know, don't drink, exercise, you hear about all of those things. But again, as a young person, you're not thinking about health. You know, you don't think about health until you get older. When you get into your 40s, or if it happens to you, you know, you're more so focused on my career. You know, you're focused on, you know, climbing the corporate ladder, if that's your desire. You're, you know, trying to have a family, hanging out, partying, having a good old time, you know. So those are the things that your mind are more geared towards. You don't think it's going to ever happen to you. So while I knew about these things, I did not put that into action. And it wasn't until after I got diagnosed that I made a decision to, you know, first thing I did is I got a box. I got rid of everything in my home, from skincare products, makeup, hair care products, plug-ins, soap powder, dish detergent, cleaning solutions, you name it, I got rid of it. Because I was the girl, if the bottle was pretty, I'd buy it, right? Because I just, you know, I'm a girly girl, so I would buy anything. If the bottle was just beautiful and pretty and the perfumes, I would buy it. And, you know, I had the whole set, especially when there were sales at certain stores. But, you know, when I got diagnosed, immediately I knew I had to get rid of those things. And like I said, I replenished them. The second thing that I got is I went to the department store. I bought a Vitamix and I bought an Omega juicer. And I said, Mom, we're going to go to town. You know, we're going to try to just feed my body what it needs to survive, to fight cancer. And one of the things I always say is, are we feeding cancer or are we fighting cancer? You know, they say everyone has cancer cells in their body, but on a daily basis, we're always trying to fight the disease. And so I started to do things in my life that would ward off cancer. And fast forward to kind of add a little bit to the question, growing up, no, I had the knowledge, but not to the degree that I have it now. And I was hit with the recurrence in 2019. And at that time, I made a decision not to go, not to do chemo and not to do radiation. You know, I said, I'm going to fight it with food and faith, and I'm going to trust God. And I did some integrative modalities as well. And here I am, I'm cancer free, thank God. But, you know, and I don't say that to tell people say no to, you know, medicine, say no to chemo and radiation and all of that. Everyone has to make their own decision for what's best for them. But I do believe if we give the body what it needs, the body will respond. Not can, but the body will respond to it. We just need to feed it what it needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we also hear like women, right? Yeah. I mean, obviously they need to be taught how to, like, everyone needs to be taught how to exam breast is self-exam. But there are also like mammograms. And so how often, if you're not doing a self-exam, like how often do you need to get a mammogram? And at what age you need to start paying attention to these things?
Yeah, so here's the thing about it. You know, our industry, unfortunately, have been pulling away from self-breast exams and clinical breast exams, because what they're finding statistically is they're not really seeing that it's making a major difference. But a lot of us are saying that's not true. You know, here I am, you know, I'm young, under the age of 40. It did not run in my family. I didn't have a family history. So I was not at high risk for breast cancer. Had I not been checking my breasts, I probably would have never found it. And if I would have found it, again, I was under the age of 40, it would have been too late, right? So it wasn't that there would not have been an early detection. And so one of the things that we're pushing for, and I pushed for, I developed a program called Breast Health Matters, and we're educating teen girls as soon as they hit puberty, because we recognize their exposures, you know, put them at a greater risk as they get older. So we start, once they hit puberty, come through our program, and we educate women. We also do what we call Hey Girl, Hey parties, where I will go to your home and get in your home, you bring your sister circle. I say bring 8 girls, because 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime. And we do a party. I educate them and we teach them so many different things through those parties. And it's really fun. We make it fun, we make it engaging. So that's a huge piece that's missing right now, is we really have got to teach people, not just give them a shower card. You've got to show them, teach them, and have them to do it back to you. So you know that they know, you know, they have an idea of what to do, how to get started. So that's the first piece. The second piece, when it comes to mammography, if you are at high risk, and I say if, the only way the if is really knowing your family history. You have to know your family history. You know, a lot of times, especially in the Black community, we would sweep it under the rug, right? We wouldn't talk about it. Because we're told, you know, there's a stigma on Black women of we're so strong, we're resilient, which we are. I'm not taking that away from us. But sometimes having that puts us in a place where we don't speak out, and we suffer in silence. And so we have to know our family history in order to even get to know, are we at a higher risk? And then the next thing is, there's also genetic testing that you can identify. If you think that they may be a high risk, do you have a genetic mutation? So that you can, you know, you and your doctor, your healthcare provider can come up with a plan on how they're going to monitor you if you're under the age of 40, because you don't get mammograms generally until you hit 40. So from 40 to 45 is when you start having the conversation, you know, with your provider about getting mammograms. At 45 to 54, you definitely should be getting mammograms every year. From 55 to 74, you have the conversation with your provider to determine what that frequency will look like. Do you want to go every other year? Do you want to go each year? And then over 74, they don't recommend, over 75, they don't recommend you getting a mammogram. And then there's clinical breast exams. You know, I'm teaching women to ask your doctor, once you hit 20 years old, start having that conversation with your doctor. Have them to check your breast. This weekend, we did one of our programs, and a nurse said, who worked, she was a part of the program with me. She works at one of the children's hospitals, and she stated she had an 8-year-old that had breast cancer. Now, that may be rare, but she's 8 years old. So again, this conversation is so critical, is so important. And I tell women all the time, just because you get a mammogram doesn't mean you should not be checking your breast. You still need to check your breasts afterwards, because we hear too many stories of women who go get a mammogram, they're excited, got a, you know, clean bill of health, and then 6 months later, 3 months later, they discover a lump and it's cancer. And they're distraught because they're saying, what's going on?
The mammogram.
And then we also have to, And one other piece to this is dense breast. You know, women with dense breasts, 7 out of 10 cancer diagnoses are women, were detected in women who have dense breasts. It's also something that's more prevalent in the Black community, and it's something that can be inherited. So we need to definitely, again, you know, ask our doctors when we have our mammograms, do I have dense breast tissue? It should be on our reports, but, you know, again, these are questions we should be asking. And if we do have dense breasts, there are other screening tools that are used in addition to your mammogram, not in place of, like an ultrasound, or possibly, you know, if they discover something, MRIs, biopsies, you know, if they find something. But this is so important for women to know, you are your first level of defense. You should be checking your breasts on a monthly basis. I want to say daily, but a monthly basis.
And this is probably the also most effective preventative strategy too, that you, especially starting from young, as soon as they hit puberty, even before puberty, as soon as they get their health education, they should start learning how to examine their own breasts, which is really, really important.
And I would say this, it's not really prevention, it's more so the early detection, right?
Early detection,
Because,
early
you know,
detection.
you can't prevent cancer at 100%. Even though American Cancer Society says 42% of cancer, you know, cancer incidents and 45% cancer-related deaths are linked to modifiable risks, we know that you can't 100% eliminate this disease. But what you can do is monitor yourself to make sure if you do happen to have breast cancer, you've detected it early so you can be
Right.
preventative, I guess you would use that word, of it being at a late stage.
Absolutely. So
Yeah.
why do you believe there's like a rise in breast cancer among Black women, especially young Black women?
Yeah. I mean, well, think about it. Things have changed, right? When we look at the diagnosis of breast cancer, only 5 to 10% of those women have a genetic mutation, which means it's something that's coming from your family, right? That puts you at an 80% increase for having breast cancer. Doesn't mean you're going to get it. It just means you're at a higher risk, right? So let's push that group aside. Let's look at those that 90% who do not have a genetic mutation. The looming question is, what about them? Well, when we think about what we're exposed to, everything that we're exposed to today is completely different than what our grandparents were exposed to. There wasn't as many harmful chemicals, you know, the makeup products that we're using, the hair care products. I mean, this Black women spend 9 times more than any other race when it comes to the beauty industry. And when we look at those chemicals, they're more harmful. We have the highest toxic load, unfortunately. Then you have to look in our communities. What do they have in our communities that's different from other communities that, you know, that from the socioeconomic standpoint, they have more money, right, to pour into their communities. They may have things like a Whole Foods or a Trader Joe's or a Sprouts or something of that nature, the, you know, juice bars and all of that. But when you go into our communities in, you know, lower income, mid to lower income communities, you see the greasy spoons on every corner. You see smoke shops everywhere. You see beauty supply stores everywhere. You know, you see things that are not geared towards health. And then there's lack of access. You know, we have food deserts. We have, from an environmental standpoint, you have, you know, a lot of the trash, you know, the waste disposal. You have plants that are giving off, you know, all kind of toxic substances. I mean, it's so many factors within our community. There's redlining. You know, it's so many factors within our community. And then there's the health literacy, the lack of education, the racism, the bias. I mean, I can go on and on and on and talk about a multitude of things. You know, this past weekend, when I did a workshop, there was a woman who was there and she gave a testimony and she said, "For years, I have been angry because her mother passed away from breast cancer." She said, "I was so angry. I was angry at the healthcare system. I was just angry at everything." And she said, "Tia, what you did today for me is you gave me a breakthrough and taught me to transfer that hate and energy that I have into action." We have to move people. We have to first bring awareness. Once we
Absolutely.
bring awareness, because people say, you know, we're tired of awareness, and I agree. I agree. But there's still a lot of things that we're not aware of, which is what we're talking about today. So once we bring people up to a level of, okay, now I'm aware, we have to move them from awareness to action. We can't
Action.
stop there. Too many people stop there. Too many people are having these great programs. They go into the schools, they go into the community centers, they go to churches, and they're like, "Oh, you know, breast cancer, everybody's wearing their pink." But what are you doing to move people to action? Where's the follow-up? This is not a October disease. This is a 365, you know, 7 days a week disease. It's a people disease, not just women, although it's affecting us even more. We have to think about, you know, other communities, right? Transgender, cisgender, all of them. We have to think about there's going to be an increase in men with breast cancer.
That too.
You know, those who are born male. Right? If we're looking at taking hormones and we're looking at even more makeup and these harmful products being used, again, this is why I say this is a people's disease and it's gonna get worse, especially with the pandemic. It's gonna get worse.
Absolutely. Wow. So we mentioned the chemical quite a bit. I know we're totally on the same page about one, educate people. Only when you have the awareness, you can take your awareness to action. So what are some of the chemical concerns that people should look out for?
Yeah, so some of the concerns or some of the chemical products. In terms of concern, the chemical products, and I guess, there's so many. BCPP, Breast Cancer Prevention Partners, just came out with a list. They just released a list. And safecosmetics.org, it came out maybe about a week or so ago. But I would advise people to go to their website and look at them. There's things that you see like phthalates and parabens and formaldehyde and even the fragrance, because we don't know what the chemical makeup
That's
of
right.
that fragrance is. So those are some things that are easily identifiable. And then there's other things that people can't even pronounce the names, right? So I always tell people there are apps that they can use to help them identify what's in their product, right? Don't try to memorize because things change all the time, right? But I highly recommend them to really utilize the apps where people are doing the research for you, right? To be able to take that step out. And I also say take the top 10 products that you use on a daily basis and do a self-analysis. Take the apps. One of the apps is Clearia. Another app is Detox Me. Then you have Think Dirty. You have EWG. I
EWG.
mean, yeah, Sephora is now doing something. Target is now doing something. I mean, there's so many things that are out there. But go through your products and do a comparison to these, to the list that I mentioned from safecosmetics.org or Breast Cancer Prevention Partners. And then look for those harmful chemicals, and some people, it is a challenge to stop using those products. And I tell people as much, it's all encompassing, right? It's what you put on your body as well as what you put in your body. But I tell them to really assess their products, and as they're finding things that are not clean, especially if they're using it on their babies and things of that nature, if they cannot afford to just outright stop using it and replace it, then wait for that product to when it's time for that product to be replenished, discard that product and replace it with something more clean.
Better one. Absolutely. That's like, those are awesome tips for people to know. So what are some ways that we know, like, education is the key? Many times we mentioned it. So what are some ways we can help educate young girls about breast cancer and about products and chemicals?
Well, one, of course, I have a program. Breast Health Matters, which is our program. I would love to do something with people, or they can host a Hey Girl, Hey party with me. Another way is just really getting tied to the cause. Connect with organizations like Bench to Community and see what they're doing. Doing your research. Going on those websites, going on those sites that I mentioned. Spread the word. We have to stop the silence. To if we want to save lives, we got to stop being silent. When you go to a program and you're learning about things, share it. This talk we're having today, share it, right? We have to be able to share the information and reach out to our sister circle and say, hey, girl, I just learned about this new thing. I want to share it with you. I want you to be healthy. I was having a conversation with my husband. I said, what I found really interesting is we wait until people get sick to care about their health. Think about it. When our parents are on medication, or our children get sick and they have to take medication, we're like, did you take this today? Did you take that today? We wait until people get sick to show that we care about their health. Why not care about their health now?
No.
Take action now. Teach people about how to do self-breast exams. Teach your daughters about how to do self-breast exams. Get in the kitchen and get in your cupboards and your cabinets with your daughters. And go through your products together. Use those apps and go through the products together. There's so many different things that we can do individually. There are things that we can do collectively. And then also from a legislation standpoint, we have got to change the laws. There's so many
Sure.
things that, California just recently passed the laws that deals with transparency, knowing what's in your product. Especially those who are now becoming entrepreneurs and they're purchasing different ingredients from, all over the place. They don't know
That's
what's
right.
in some of those ingredients. So, so that's another piece. And then the formulation piece, consider being a formulator if you're a young child. That's one of the things that we teach in our program. We're teaching children about being formulators, an organic formulator or, something more natural so that we can start having products for us that are not harmful to us.
Harmful.
Start making your own products. That's another piece. So these are things that we can do collectively to help address this issue. stop buying the products, especially when we see on the shelf. I remember being in a focus group, and there was a company that was coming out with a sanitary napkin. And what they did was they have one that's on the market that was not so good to use, that's not so clean, but they wanted to come out with a cleaner brand. Mm-hmm. And I questioned them. I said, why are you coming out with a cleaner brand? Are you going to get rid of the older brand? And they said, no, we're going to have both. I said, well, that now makes me question your integrity as a company. Is it about the money, or is it about you really care about people's health and their overall well-being? When you created the project, the initial product, maybe you didn't know. You didn't have the knowledge because, again, things change. But now that you do, why are you going to keep the other brand?
Exactly.
So we have to, again, we've got to be vocal about this.
Absolutely. And we have always been on the same page. And then we want consumers to actually vote with their dollars. Because when you do that, you're buying better product or making your own, you're actually sending a signal to manufacturers and even policymakers to make these changes. So then it's beneficial for our entire community.
Yeah. And one thing I will say, I see a lot of drives out here for women who may be, less fortunate or homeless or under-resourced, and people buy sanitary napkins, they buy all these different things. And I'm saying, why don't we start buying cleaner products for those women? Because they deserve the best too. Even though they may not have, we want to give to them. And I know our hearts are in the right place. But because we're not educated enough, we're buying what we know to buy. Mm-hmm. But we have to start talking about these things, even within those communities, so that we can make sure that these women who may have fallen on hardship or anything could be going on in their lifetime, in their lives, being able to buy those types of products for them.
Absolutely.
And this is a call to action. We're talking about this today, but for me, it's a call to action. We can't just have this conversation. We've got to take action. And these are the many ways that we can do this.
Absolutely. And I look forward to working with you and Bench to Community. So we're really excited for the future initiatives that we will work on. So thank you so much for coming on today and talk about this and then also sharing your story. This is really incredible. And your program.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And then sorry about all the technical difficulty. And then thank you everyone for joining. But be sure to follow Tia at My Style Matters. And also follow Bench to Community at Bench 2 with number 2 Community. And I will include all the information also in the post promoting this IG Live. So thank you so much, Tia.
Thank you. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.